Our New Testament reading is from John chapter 11, verses 1 to 7 and 17 to 44. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been there, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you anything you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." After she said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and he's asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house confronted her, noticing how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could he not have opened the eyes of the blind man could he have not opened the eyes of the blind man to have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor. He's been there for 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank that you have heard me. I know you always hear me. I say this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go."
Well, it's the first Sunday of the new year. And you know what I'll ask you? How many of you made a New Year's resolution? Ah, you did. Good. few of you, some of you have already sort of realized and given up and thought, no, I won't be keeping my resolutions, so I better not make it any. I can see a few nods, right? Okay, for Sheila and family who've made a resolution, you've had 1 week into the new year. Did you manage to keep your resolutions for 1 week? Ah, good. So we can, if we want to, pray to God and say, you know, we need to keep our resolutions. We want to keep our resolutions, and we try. Because one of the New Year's resolutions that most people would make would be, you know, I must visit someone. I must keep in touch with someone, you know, whether it's an old friend, an old neighbor, or, you know, a relative. But I will keep in touch. And I thought at the start of this new year, we should visit our good friends in Bethany, Lazarus, and his two sisters, Martha and Mary. And we know that they're very good friends of Jesus, and, you know, and they've probably entertained Jesus many, many times, one of which we're all very familiar with in when we read Luke chapter 10, starting from verse 38, about the family hosting a dinner for Jesus. And Jesus loved this family, and this was probably, you know, the closest thing he would have to a second family on this earth. There was Lazarus and his two sisters. And in the passage that Pam read to us just now, we know that they're such good friends that when their brother fell ill, Martha and Mary naturally sent word to Jesus and said, as was described in verse 3, the one you love is sick. They had no hesitation in calling for Jesus. They knew the fame of Jesus had spread. They knew that Jesus healed the sick. And as Martha confidently asserted in verse 27, I'll read that to you, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into this world. So they knew that Jesus, if he wanted, could heal their brother. And they knew that Jesus loved them. So you can imagine, perhaps their surprise and a bewilderment, when Jesus didn't come immediately. It must be a sense of hurt. What's keeping him? Well, you know, Bethany is only 2 miles away, so we you know, from where he is. Why hasn't he come? As we know from the story, when Jesus finally arrived 2 days later, really, there was nothing left to say, was there? Except, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Who said that? Actually, both sisters said the same thing. Martha in verse 21, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And likewise, Mary in verse 32, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. These very same words that were uttered by the sisters, you know, conveyed a sense of sadness, hurt. What might have been had Jesus come immediately? So we can ask ourselves, was there a hint of an accusation in that statement? A little reprimand, a little sense of bitterness, of betrayal? What took you so long? You weren't that far away. Don't you care? I thought you loved us. Now, these are legitimate questions that Jesus answered as the story continues. And of course, we know the ending, that Lazarus was raised from the dead. We know the reason for the delay, because Jesus said in verse 4, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." So there's a reason for that. What I find more intriguing is, I think, the response that Jesus made to these two women. I wonder, as you cast your mind and remember the story, whether you find it intriguing that with Martha, there was a theological discussion that Jesus had with her about the resurrection. And with Mary, Jesus simply noted her grief and just asked her, "Where did you lay the body of your brother?" Now, as I said, we know of another story about this family in Luke chapter 10, when Jesus, went to their house for dinner. And in that story, you will remember that Mary actually was considered the more spiritual one. In that story, in Luke chapter 10, Martha was so distracted with the practicalities of hosting a dinner, while Mary chose to sit and listen to Jesus. And we know that Jesus commended Mary for her choice. What Jesus meant at that point in time was that there was nothing wrong with planning and wanting to give the best for Jesus. But sometimes, perhaps just God wants us to sit and allow Him to minister to us. So Mary was actually considered the spiritual one in that story, and Martha was the practical one. So, but here, it's quite intriguing in this story. Who has the theological discussion with Jesus? It was Martha, the practical one. You'd expect it to be the other way around, wouldn't you? And I think how these two women handled their grief and how Jesus responded to their grief is something I thought we should look at today. The practical one having this discussion about the resurrection with Jesus, and the spiritual one just grieving. I believe that Jesus was trying to teach both these women lessons about life and death. Now, I think in the case for Martha, I think the lesson that Jesus felt she needed to learn was that there is life before death. Life before death. Now, we know Martha was the practical one, always busy making a comfortable home, for her family. But Jesus did not want her to miss out on the kind of life that he offered. Amidst all the duties and responsibilities that she had to shoulder, Jesus wanted her to know about the kind of life that she can have. Now, if you have your Bible and turn to verse 24, Martha said, "Oh, I know he will rise again." It's verse 24, I think, sums up what is her practical, matter-of-fact outlook on life. You know, what she was trying to say to Jesus was, "Yep, I know my brother is dead. He lived, he died. That's life. Shame about that, you weren't here. But don't worry, I'm not holding it out on you. I know that he will live again." It's a very practical, matter-of-fact way of looking at life on this earth. He's dead. He's gone. Okay, he'll live again. But that's in the future. But I believe that what Jesus is trying to tell her is that there is life before death. Life in capital letters. Abundant life. A joyous life. You know, and that she can have this life right now on this earth. Not a case of, you know, later on, but she can have it right now. And it's not life that comes from, you know, family and having family and friends, but the kind of life that Jesus can offer. And Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Jesus is saying to Martha, you know, you don't have to plod on through life, weighed down by the responsibilities, you know, that you have to shoulder day to day, and think that, you know, don't worry, my reward will come at the last day. Jesus is saying, why not have life now, before death? That was the kind of life that Mary discovered when she sat down at his feet and listened to him. And your reward, and Jesus is saying, your reward and your eternal life is available to you right here and right now. And why do we say that? Because Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 3, "Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So what is eternal life? Eternal life is knowing Jesus personally. We can have it right now. We don't have to think it's something that comes in the future. There is life before death. I think that's the lesson that Martha had to learn. Now, in the case of Mary, her sister, I believe that Jesus wanted to tell her that there is life after death. There is life after death. Now, Mary was grieving quite badly. She couldn't even go out to meet Jesus when he first came. She must have thought, we've lost the man of the house. We've lost our protector, our brother. You must have thought, Mary, Martha, and I are now all alone. What's going to happen to them? And I think that you could probably understand that, because you find that in most of the lessons of the Bible, it talks about living and living the godly life here on this earth. The Ten Commandments, as most those of you who've been attending the Breakfast Club, you know, teach us about our relationship with God, our relationship with our fellow men on this earth. The Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus taught. It's all about, you know, our conduct and our lives on this earth. The parables that Jesus was talking about mainly dealt with life on this earth. So much of Jesus' ministry and teaching was about living the kind of life that God wants us on this earth. He healed the sick. He made the blind see. The lame walked. You know, it was a ministry on this earth. And Mary must have just thought, that's it. It's life. It's gone. My brother is gone. What's going to happen? And so I think Mary just needed to know that there is life after death. Jesus' ministry doesn't end here. Didn't end on the cross. His ministry continues through his Holy Spirit, through the transforming work of his Holy Spirit in us. So, to Martha, she needed to know that Jesus is life. And to Mary, she needed to know that Jesus is the resurrection. We can have Jesus right here, right now. We can have the kind of life he wants for us right now. Abundant life, joyful life, fulfilling life. We don't look at it as just a reward that comes when he comes again. No, we can have that life right now. And the question we probably ask ourselves is, do we want that life? Do we want that abundant life? That joyful life that we can have right now? One of the things, resolutions that I have made this year is about that. That when the Lord calls, you heed his call. And that resolution sort of came to me these past weeks. Some of you may know I lost my mother 3 weeks ago. And I was there in Singapore, and the Lord was gracious that, you know, I could have missed her. And I believed that it was the Lord's prompting that when her prompting to her neighbor, when she said, if you'd like to go to the hospital now, I will accompany you. It was only then that I thought I'd go. I was tired. I wasn't going to go. And I praise and thank the Lord that he prompted Francis to make that offer, and we both went. And I saw my mother before she passed away. And that same message of when the Lord prompts you and calls you and draws you to him, don't wait. Heed his call. It came to me again. The same message when, you know, a week after my mother passed away on Christmas Eve, the phone rang, picked up the phone, and my mother's friend was on the other end of the phone. And she said, oh, could you put me through to your mother? And I had to tell her, I'm sorry, Auntie, but my mother passed away last week. And it was such a great shock to her. She was crying on the phone. She said, I meant to come and see your mother. I meant to call her. And I didn't. And I think these are are the three saddest words in the English language. I meant to. I never did. I meant to. Somehow I missed it. And I think this morning, you feel the Lord, He calling you and heeding. Heed His call. Let's not come to a point in time in our lives where we say, I meant to, and I never did. And the Lord is calling to us because we are going to be celebrating the sacrament of His sacrifice, His Son. And the invitation is right there. Come to me. Accept my gift of salvation. And Mary and Martha's, you know, don't be like Mary and Martha. If you had been here, let us come to that table saying, Lord, you are here. You are here, and we have life. Amen.